This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's just
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, still off this week, enjoying a little vacay. Well earned. So we got Han Solo with you today again, as we will for this week, as we lead into Christmas. And I feel like I'm in school because it's like these are the days leading up. Now, tomorrow's not a half day, but it's my last day for at least for the rest of this year. And God bless 2020. And I don't mean God bless it. I mean goodbye. And that'll be tomorrow. So let's have some fun today. And we got a show for you. 800-919-3776 is the number, and I encourage you to get on the lines early. Little buffet action out of the gate as, yes, the NBA season is upon us. A new season for the NBA after the previous season with the bubble finish was only about, what are we talking about, 2 months, 2.5 months ago? So we're back in a new season, and the good news is that everybody's involved in this one, and that includes the Knicks. Pause for effect. But tonight you get your doubleheader. Tonight you get your matchups that are the compelling matchups. You get your Kevin Durant back after a long layoff, after being out since the finals in 2019 with the Achilles injury. He is back in the NBA. If you watch him in the preseason, he looks very much ready to get back to being the player that we saw him before he went down. And that means one of the top two players. Yeah, top two players in the league. That's what his talent is, and that's what he showed us at least glimpses of in the preseason. Golden State, his former team, they're in Brooklyn tonight for that opener. That's a 7 o'clock. TNT's got the TV games. We'll have it on ESPN Radio. But Golden State, Brooklyn is tonight. That's the first game of the doubleheader. The second game of the doubleheader, well, I mean, again, more drama. Lakers, Clippers in L.A., and the Clippers have to stand there and watch the Lakers get their rings and see the banner go up in the same building they play in. It's like that, you know, just put it in their face right from the very beginning of the season. Just let them have it. LeBron and the Lakers trying to go for another title. So we got that going on. Arthur Millett is going to join us later on this hour, and we'll talk with the Jets defensive back who's had to do basically a bunch of everything, corner, safety, whatever's asked of him as the Jets got their first win on Sunday. And as fans, we were all miserable about it, but the players are pretty damn happy about it. So we'll see what Arthur Millett has to say about that. And then what I've been promising you for days, and I've waited because some of you said, no, you can't do it right away. There's a statute of limitations that once a final episode is released on anything, you can't really talk about it. You got to give it a couple of days. So we did. So we're waiting till today. And now today's the day for all my Star Wars fans out there that we will talk about the Mandalorian finale. We will. We have to, because there's a lot to unpack from that. There's amazing things to talk about. And then there's the one thing that really bothered me. The only thing, the only criticism I could have of Favreau and the job, the amazing job he's done with that series, is just one simple thing, and we'll discuss that. And Ryan Rucco, the great Ryan Rucco, old friend of the station.
Goodbye, sir!
Yes, that Ryan Rucco of Yes fame and, of course, now ESPN TV fame, where it's not just where he does some NBA games. He's not just the WNBA guy. The lead women's college basketball play-by-play man. at the Final Four, at the championship, all that stuff. That's what he's doing. So Rook's going to join us at noon. We'll talk about the Nets. He's doing the pre and post with Sarah Kustak on Yes. So we'll get that going about the Nets season, the NBA season. And then, yes, we will delve into the Star Wars stuff. We'll geek out because that's what we're going to do. And you know what? A lot of you wanted this, so we're bringing it to you. Merry Christmas. This is our gift. I could have waited till tomorrow, but you know what? No, can't wait another day. Got to talk about it. So we've got that. So like I said, a lot to unpack, a fun show to get to, and 800-919-3776 is the number, at Barton Hunt on Twitter and Instagram, of course, is the way you can reach us if you can't call in. I'm going to give you four takes on the NBA as the season begins, and then I'll get to your calls. I'll make this quick. The very first thing I have to say is this. The Lakers are once again the favorite. In fact, all the money, Vegas is saying they're taking about 60% of the money, is on the Lakers. They're 11-4 favorites to win the NBA title, back-to-back. We haven't seen that in quite a while, right? A team, just a team that good, that dominant. The Warriors were that team, and they broke up pretty quickly. It's like when you get these types of dynastic teams, you know, are the Lakers that team? Well, they're going to have to be if LeBron's going to do the last thing on the checklist for him. He's in season number 17. He has been all NBA in every season. He's 36 years old at this point, and he's got four titles. So you're wondering now what's left. He's checked every single box you could possibly check. You don't have to ask about Hall of Fame. You don't have to ask about where he is, and this is where the debate continues. He is among, if not the best, among the best players in the history of this game. But he's got one more box to check, and I really feel like it's still the thing that pushes him. And that is two more titles. Can he do it? Because you know what that means. If he gets to six, well, now no one can say he didn't win as much as Michael Jordan. He matches Jordan. And I think that's important to him. I think that matters. I think it's very personal to him. Now, the Lakers are set up this year to, again, do it. They have enough talent. They reworked that roster a little bit. They got a little bit younger. And they made sure Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere. They gave him a max. They kept him there. And I'll tell you this, too, on the side. Keep an eye on this season. Something to watch this season as the NBA season continues and starts to unfold and moves into where we just get game after game after game. Watch the promotion. Watch the attention and pay attention also to what's being said, especially from LeBron, but also from the marketing machine that is the NBA and everything else that is included in the NBA. The campaign to get Anthony Davis an MVP already started. It's already begun. And that's the Rich Paul thing. That's keep an eye on this. And I'm telling you, watch everything LeBron says. Watch what they do while the way they play. How much LeBron will credit Anthony Davis. See, LeBron doesn't need any more hardware. The only thing he cares about now is two more OBs, two more Larry O'Briens. That's what he wants. Give me two more OBs, and then I can call it a career. You know, I'll go to the team that drafts my son, we'll play 1 year together, and I'm out. But that's what this is about. So the next thing now is for the business, for Clutch Sports. It's important for them. Anthony Davis has got to get his MVP, and that's going to be the move. So as we watch, the first take I have is the Lakers and LeBron. And it's basically like LeBron is still on a mission. For anybody who thinks, all right, he's all set, he's going to bet. No, he's not. He's 36. He's played 17 seasons. But he's still the most compelling player in the game today. Compelling. He does everything still. His durability is up there. He just understands the game. Nothing. He's seen everything. So I'm not talking, is he the best player in the league anymore? Is he going to win an MVP? I'm telling you, that stuff is not what's going to move him. All he's about now is the OBs. That's it. And he needs two more. And that's the take. So the Lakers are the favorite to win the championship. And LeBron's going to do everything he can to get that title. And Clutch Sports and Rich Paul are going to do everything they can, using all their influence, and they have a lot of it in this league now, to get Anthony Davis his MVP. That's what's going to happen in L.A. Second one, the Nets. Here's a question. And I mean this in the most sincere way. Setting it up. Are they California Pizza Kitchen in Times Square? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, do they feel authentic New York to you? Because it seems like they're a bigger story nationally than they are locally. Am I wrong? On the same night that Kevin Durant looked like he was 100% back. I mean, he was back. If you watch that game, that last preseason game Friday night against the Celtics up in Boston, Kevin Durant looked like he didn't miss a single step. And he was right in his bag. He was in his game. He was everything I remember him being. Smooth, clutch, dominant, unstoppable, played at own speed. Just an amazing scorer who moved so swiftly, so easily, and had incredible length. There was no chance you can even get to his shot when he raises up from three. And what was the back page? It was Emmanuel Quickly at the Garden against the Cavs. That's the back page. So that's it. I mean, that's really it. They're going to be, the Nets are going to be a great team. In fact, the second most money in Vegas right now is on them to win the championship. They and the Bucks 5-1 odds. So they're tied for the second highest as far as odds go to win the title. So they're going to be a championship contending team. They have that kind of talent. They have depth, and they have one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. And oh, by the way, they also have one of the top point guards you'll ever see. The key, of course, health. Kyrie has struggled with health. They're both very healthy right now. They're both feeling good. They're both happy. Once we get into a regular season, when you get physicality, where teams are now coming after you, where they're designing defenses to stop you, where you're going to get those bumps and bruises, where the travel begins, that's when we'll see if there's any impact on those two stars, especially Kyrie. Durant's mostly been durable, over the last few years. Early on, he had some struggles, especially with the foot. But Durant, for the most part, is pretty good when it comes to playing on a nightly basis. It's Kyrie that, over the last couple of years, especially last year, but also, although last year, not a lot of motivation for him to play, right? Let's be honest. And didn't want to play in the bubble. So that's the next thing. It's just like, they'll be a great story. They're going to be a team that you can't deny. Like, I'm watching that damn team when I'm not working, because I love watching Kevin Durant play basketball. No deny. There's nothing I can say about it. You can say all you want. How can you watch the Nets? I'm not watching the Nets. I'm watching Kevin Durant. I love watching Kevin Durant play. But when you watch, does it feel like that's a New York team, or does it feel like, getting a slice of pizza at California Pizza Kitchen in Times Square? That's my question. That's my take on that. Next one. A lot of people believe Luka Doncic could be the MVP favorite this year after what you saw him do in the bubble for the Dallas Mavericks. That is, this is going to be his now ascension season into greatness, where they already have him as a top five player, according to ESPN. And now you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who signed his Supermax at $250 million, and he's staying in Milwaukee. And now my question about those two, as I'm watching them very closely, both of them, because you have two very compelling players. And what do they have around them, and is it enough? Because once you are ascended to the top five status, what's the next thing that comes with it? Are you a champion? Can you carry your team to a championship? And that's when the pressure really comes in. Because we fall in love with guys that are on the rise. Like, we fall in love with those players that work their way up, and you're like, oh, this guy's becoming great. Now, once they're at that status, then it becomes, all right, well, you got to win a title now. And if you don't, now we start kicking you. Now we start picking apart your game. We start putting the blame on you. Oh, you're not good enough. And that's a lot. That's a heavy weight for players like that to carry. And Giannis is already going through it, already dealing with it. What happened last year in the playoffs, where the Heat just shut him down, where he could not do it, and no one else around him could. And they made some mistakes with that roster. Letting Brogdon go was dumb. They made a couple of moves even this offseason, and I'm not that excited about his supporting cast. Luka Doncic has an interesting supporting cast in Dallas, but the most important player for him is Kristaps Porzingis, and he's never available. He gets hurt all the time. Now, understand this. This is not about Porzingis, and he was a Knick, so I'm supposed to hate him. This is not about that at all. This is just an NBA take. I'm looking at Porzingis, and I'm thinking, how frustrating would it be to know you have a guy on your team that's that good? And he is. He's an all-star. He's that good. But he gets hurt a lot. And how much can I trust that you're going to be there when I need you? So here's my question. Here's my third take question. Which star gets more frustrated with his supporting cast first? Giannis and his, you know, Chris Middleton, who's, right? Jrue Holiday's nice, but he ain't that nice. You know, what do they have there? You know, are you telling me DiVincenzo is going to turn into a star? Maybe. I don't know. But I know that the Bucks are one of those teams that look like they're built for the regular season, but not built to win at all. Nobody else wants to say that. Nobody wants to dare say that. But I'm sorry, when your highest paid player and your biggest star can't win a game on the final possession because he's not that good when it comes to scoring on his own, where you can just put up a wall and he has to pass to someone else. And that guy, you have to rely on that guy. And that guy most of the time ain't making that shot. So Giannis can't create for himself like a lot of the stars in this league can. Like Luka can. Luka can do it. He proved it. So how frustrated will Giannis eventually get where he's looking around him saying, I don't have enough. Because I don't have what Brooklyn's got. I don't even have what Philly's got. I don't have what Boston's got. They've got guys. They got makers. Do we? So does he get frustrated or does Luka get frustrated because while he and Porzingis together are dynamic, when KP is out because, like, right now he can't start the season because of the knee issue, another knee issue, this time the other knee. You know, he'll be back at some point, so he'll be back. The question is how long and how much can he play? That's the major concern. So for Luka, will it be, I got to get somebody else in here because this guy's never around. He's not available. I need that guy, and he's not available. So when does his frustration creep in? When he's blamed for not being good enough, when really it's because the other guy that he needs, and we know this in the whole league, you need that second star. When his second star just isn't available enough, does he get frustrated about it? Does he then maybe even quietly go to management and say, yeah, this dude's never around. We might need to find somebody who's a little more durable. So does he do it or does Giannis do it? Who does it first? Last but not least, I hate bringing it up, but it's true, COVID. The NBA had to finish their season in a bubble. They did it, and they did it perfectly. No issues at all when it comes to coronavirus, and they got to a championship, and they did it in Orlando. Now they're going to try to do it, not in a bubble, but in a controlled environment, yet while still traveling. That's what they have to do. They're going to play 72 games. We only have a first half schedule so far because they want to leave some room just in case, as we see in the NFL, where you have a breakout and a team has to cancel a game or two. It allows you to make up games. So they're having that little bit of space. So they only schedule the first half. Then they'll take about 2 weeks off where probably they'll fill in some games that get canceled. And then whatever else they can do in the second half, they will. And they're hoping in the second half, as Adam Silver said yesterday to Stephen A., that if they're in the second half, maybe by then the vaccine's gone around enough and maybe things have calmed down. Warmer weather comes around, as we saw last summer. And maybe you can start letting people back in the building because it's very important to the league's business to let people back in the building. So, with that in mind, the question is just getting through this first half. And the question of, can the league do it? Because we said the same thing about the NFL. We asked, can the NFL get through a season? Well, we're about 2 weeks away from them doing it. And they have done it with issues, with breakouts, with games that they've had to push to Wednesday, if you remember, with teams that have been, I mean, riddled with it, where, you know, they're putting out a roster of players where it's not as good. I mean, RG3 started for the Ravens one game. You know, you've seen this. And yet they just endured. Okay, well, who's available? That's who we're going with. And you got to play. And there's no excuses. We all know what this is about. You got to play the games. But the NFL's only played, you know, they play one game a week. NBA, they're in constant travel mode. That's the question. How much of an impact does it have? But we did ask the same question. No way the NFL gets through a whole season. Well, they're about to. So do we trust the NBA can do the same? I'll raise my hand and say, yeah, I do. 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, so those are my four takes as we head into the new NBA season. No, I didn't have any Knicks takes. There's no reason to. I'm being honest. There's no reason to. Not right now. We'll talk Knicks tomorrow because they start tomorrow. They don't open on opening night. They open tomorrow. They don't play on Christmas Day either. There's a reason for that. They're not a knit team. We know this. Maybe they're heading in the right direction. We hope so. But I can tell you right now, when it comes to the Knicks, They should not be on the back page. Yeah, I said it. I know. I do the games. You know, I should be promoting it. Oh, no, you should watch the games. Because if you're a Knicks fan, this is an interesting team. But the Nets are the biggest team in the city. I just don't understand why they're not treated as such. You have the best scorer in the world. And you might have the best player, if not the second best player in the world as well. In the same guy, Kevin Durant. And yeah, that's why I said what I said. It just doesn't feel like they're taken as authentic enough. Like they're not New York enough. That's why I said what I said. California Pizza Kitchen in Times Square. Sure, it's pizza. But it ain't New York pizza. 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, let's get some calls. Let's go first to D-Rock in Brooklyn. Come on, D-Rock.
Ooh. All right. So, glad to be on. I must say I'm a proud Brooklyn Nets fan. And I have to say, first off, I think we lost momentum when we signed KD and Kyrie last season because KD missed the season with injury. So that definitely blunted the blow. But now that he's back, me as a Nets fan, and I, you know, work for the city. I have plenty of coworkers that are Knicks fans. They are noticing the Brooklyn Nets. So I wouldn't. I kind of disagree with your take that we are California pizza. I understand what you're saying, and I think it's just going to take some time for people to start to notice that we are legit, and they should know that we are legit because
there's no denying that that it's going to be a legit team. No denying it. I'm just curious about if the buzz is ever going to, you know, is it ever going to be legit buzz or is it more? I feel like it's more of a national buzz, a national interest than it is a local interest. I'm just being honest.
No, well, so you're right because, yes, we will see. And you're all right. This is a Knicks town. But as you said, the Knicks are not the story. And as Brooklyn continues to play games and win games, the attention will get put on us and people will start to realize this is a legit team. This is a championship team. And it will gain the buzz. It's just going to take some time. But right now we got the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. All eyes are going to be glued on that. We are going to watch LeBron afterwards. It's just going to take some time. But it's going to take one season. That's all it will take. And when we're in that championship picture, this will slowly start to turn from a Knicks town to a joint residence town, I would say.
I like the way you put that, D-Rock. Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. I mean, look, you don't have a big window here. So it has to happen this year. You got 2 years. Let's be honest. You got 2 years because both those guys have opt-outs. So you got 2 years. Yeah, that's it. And see if you get it done. Tyler in Nutley. Tyler.
Hey, Han, love the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks, man. How you doing?
I have a different route the Jets could do if they don't get the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look likely. I was thinking maybe they could trade the first-round pick they got from Seattle and then mid-round pick to Green Bay for, like, Jordan Love, something like that.
You have Sam, right? Like, it's just, I don't think quarterback becomes your play, even at number two. And I know everybody wants to give me, you know, well, what about Justin Fields? How about Zach Wilson? Like, you have Sam. If you're not getting Trevor, who's considered a generational quarterback, then you stick with Sam and you just get weapons and build up the O-line even more. That's my opinion. I don't think you need quarterback isn't a need. It's a want if you have the number one pick. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so thanks, Tyler. I appreciate it. We'll go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira?
Hey, Alan. Happy holidays. How are you?
Likewise.
Man?
Good.
Hey, yeah, respectfully have to disagree with you, man. I think you see the three-year body of work with Sam, and you can want to get the blame game, whether it's the organization, whether it's him, it's coaching. You know, it's pretty much split in the third for every one of them. But I don't think what it is, because you're going to get a new coach. You're going to ask him, Sam, to go into his fourth year, go into his third offensive system, his third head coach, and you still see his body of work after 3 years. So quite frankly, considering because of the money and you got a GM and you want to get a quarterback on a rookie contract, quite frankly, I move Sam if I have to. Samin had a good article. I would bring in a stopgap guy. If we don't get Trevor Lawrence, we don't get that number one pick, and you don't believe in Justin Fields, I bring in a stopgap quarterback. I draft one of them in maybe the later first round, second round, and see where you're at. Because you can't handcuff a new head coach with, okay, you have to rebuild Sam. Maybe Sam's not rebuildable. You know, maybe he is who he is. And quite frankly, I love the kid. I just think he's a middle of the road quarterback. I think he's going to be a Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton type of quarterback the rest of his career.
I don't know. Ira, you and I usually agree on a lot of things. We're definitely at odds on this one. I feel like, I don't think, first of all, we haven't seen enough of Sam, first of all, right? We haven't seen enough. And then for a while there, I felt like he was broken. Right. Well, the healthy part, you know, getting mono is sort of, you know, different than being fragile. That's fragile in a different way. But I just feel like there was also a part of seeing him where he's just broken, because I don't think he really grasped what Adam Gase was trying to get him to do. I think there was a lot of stuff that was going on where he was like, why? What? Like, you could see that not everything made sense to him. And so I think I'd like to see him with a new coach. I'd like to see him with some healthy weapons, because he didn't have that this year. And a line that's a little more bolstered, and just see what he could become. And you've got time. I just don't feel like, to me, stopgap feels like a waste of time. You did take him third overall. He's had some issues, but he's had some moments. And everyone else that's an expert out there that's watched him play, I mean everyone, feels like he's got it. You just got to get him in the right situation. So if I don't get the number one pick, the only reason why I'm going quarterback is for the number one pick, because this is a generational superstar. But other than that, no, then Sam's my guy.
Well, if you believe in Justin Fields and you
get
the second pick,
I don't.
You take him. You got to go.
No, I don't. No way. There's no way. I take Sewell. I take the tackle, or I trade back, get some more picks, and I get a wide receiver. I get one of the wide receivers from Alabama.
I mean,
or Chase, the kid from LSU. Like, you've got talent. I'm telling you, man, like, sometimes you don't mess around with this thing. If you were supposed to, like, if you got that number one pick, that's a different story. But I don't think in this case you just give up on, you don't throw the baby with the bathwater, as they say. And I just don't feel like that's what you do here. This is, I'm sorry, Ira, but like, normally I agree with Ira, but this is no way. No way. You tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Try to convince me that if you get the number two pick, you should still give up on Sam. I feel like that's, no. The only way I was giving up on Sam was because of Trevor Lawrence. If there was no Trevor Lawrence in this draft, no chance. Not doing it. Did you say he's there? Okay. Arthur Millett joins us right now from the Jets. I appreciate your time. And it's actually a perfect time for you to come in here. I know you're on the defensive side of the ball, but obviously this is a big, you know, this is a big debate among fans. You might have caught a little bit of it there at the end. But it's become a thing now, and I won't talk about like the number one pick and everything with the win, because you guys won a game and it made you feel good. But I'm just saying, in general, from what you've seen in practice and everything else, Sam Darnold, is he a guy that you would say that the fans really know who he is and what he's about? Or is there more to him than all of us know because of all the different circumstances surrounding the team?
Yeah, man, Sam's going to be fine. Honestly, to the fans, that's my message. Sam's going to be fine. I think that quarterback position is fine, honestly. I'll go bet my money with Sam. He's a great player. His off-schedule timing with throws and making something out of nothing is amazing. So, I mean, they got to look at the bright spots that we do have with him, you know what I'm saying? And I think we'll be fine with Sam, honestly.
And you being a D-back, I mean, you play corner most of the time, but you've dealt with this in practice, I'm sure. Like, anybody can see it. It's you, right? Because you're the guy out there that has to cover against him.
Yeah, of course. He knows what he's doing, man. He's had, you know, some setbacks. He hasn't really had a true, you know, honestly, great start to a season with no adversity, you know what I'm saying? And I think he deals with adversity great, you know, coming off of injuries and things like that. He's a tough guy. So, you know, I think we'll be fine with Sam, honestly.
All right, let me ask you about you. Speaking of adversity, I mean, would it be fair to say you're playing out of position when they've got you, was it free safety? And you're playing these last couple of weeks, especially this week, and you guys come out against an offense like that the Rams have, and you guys come away with the win. How has it been for you, and what kind of adjustment is that?
It's been fun, honestly. I like it a lot. The game's slower back there. I feel like I can use my ability better, run to the ball, hit, and use my ball skills. So I like it, man. I like it a lot.
You're enjoying it. Now, let's go back to that conversation as well. And I know that for players, you guys are all about, we're winning, we're about right now, and we want to get a win. Nobody wants to wear that stink of a winless season on them, because it feels like you just can't wash it off. You guys get that win. is it like, is it at all in the back of your mind, like once it's over, to say, man, we're going to have some fans that are not going to be happy about this? Like, does that even enter your mind, or does that creep in sometime later? Because it's got to have a little bit of an effect on you.
Not really. No, not at all, man. I'm a football player, honestly, to be truthful with you. I'm a football player. That's my job. Mm-hmm. Like, I love fans, you know what I'm saying? We have great fans, don't get me wrong. But, you know, at the end of the day, that opinion on what they want and what they think we need is really little, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win games and have fun with my teammates. That's my job, and that's what I'm going to keep doing, you know. And, you know, to satisfy the fans by playing well. So, you know, that's my take on it, honestly, and I'm going to keep it moving that way.
Yeah, well, you have to. I mean, again, it's from a player perspective. I always say this. Why would you want to lose so a team could draft a player that's going to replace you? Like, I understand that part of it. Like, I'm not in that business. I'm in the business of me and making sure I stay around here. And the only way I stay around here is if we win. And so that's obviously what you've got to focus on. What changed for you guys? What has it been? Has this been building? I mean, we saw that the end of that Raiders game was such a heartbreaker. It seemed like you were getting closer and closer to getting one. What changed, and why this week? Why was it Sunday in L.A.? Why did it happen the way it did for you guys?
Honestly, we've been there before, but not just that. I think we just played, you know, team football finally on all three phases, special teams, offense, and defense, you know what I'm saying? So I think we just, you know, we put a complete game together finally.
Was there a difference in play calling? Was there a difference in system since Greg Williams was let go? Is there something different that you're doing out there?
The coaches are taking a lot of stress off of us, you know what I'm saying? They're more on the simple fact of us just playing fast and knowing where we need to be, and honestly, I like it a lot, and they know what they're doing.
How much did that shake the locker room when you found out that your defensive coordinator was let go, and the way he was let go, and the reasoning as well, because of the play call at the end there that not a lot of people agreed with, where you go all out blitz? Was that something that shook the locker room? Was it maybe was there pressure taken off? How did it impact the room and the players?
Honestly, we kind of just got over it, man. Honestly, you know, we can't harp on it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're trying to get a win, man.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, like, it's football, you know what I'm saying? And whatever play is called, we have to execute it. That's my take on it. We really didn't harp on it too much, man. It was on to the next thing, you know what I'm saying? My head goes out to these guys because they come and bust their butt every day. And, you know what I'm saying, through our adversity and through all the things that's happening, we're still coming and playing hard. So, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't too much flustered feathers about it. We just kind of took it as, you know, let's do our job and get a win.
Last thing for you, Arthur, and thanks for the time here, is also on that note, what you said there as well. I ask this of all the Jet players we have on the show because I do think it's important, because, you know, you look at the record and from the outside, you'll get the typical jokes and all the other stuff about what a circus it must be there, what a bad franchise, how awful is it, and all those things from the outside. But every player I've talked to seems to have the same take about what's happening inside, as, you know, Joe Douglas and company are trying to grow something there with the type of players they're bringing in, and it's obviously a younger group. So you've been there now. You were there last year. You're there this year as well. What is it? What do you see inside that locker room, inside that at Florham Park? What do you see that other people don't see that tell you that better days are coming?
Honestly, how we're coming about our work, you know what I'm saying? How we're executing practice, you know what I'm saying? The communication, the camaraderie, the accountability from everybody. I think it's getting better, you know what I'm saying? We don't have a lot of veterans, but a lot of young guys are getting playing time, and, you know, they're growing from what they're seeing, you know, on the field and off the field at practice. So it's better days coming, trust me.
So free safety, is that your new position forever, or or do you still feel like a corner by trade?
No, I mean, I'm a guy, wherever you put me, coach, I'll try to do my best to my ability and do my job, so... You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to help the team. I'm liking the free safety spot, hint, hint. But, you know, wherever they want me to go, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, your best ability is the availability. Wherever you need me, that's what I'll do. Arthur, great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and good luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Arthur Millett. Now, it's a good story. I mean, the guy's a corner, but because of injuries and everything else, hey, we need you at free safety. Can you do it? Sure, I'll do it. And he and Marcus May were fantastic. They were. I mean, they were fantastic against the Rams, and they slowed down that passing attack, and nothing got behind them. And for him, like you heard, it's the same thing. We're a player. We're players. We play for now. We win. We can't be worried about what we all are. And I talked about it yesterday, how important it is. You know, the draft pick and how big it was. And, you know, we look at it from a historic perspective because we're fans. You know, we've lived through it. These guys, you know, I mean, he's only been here since last year. He doesn't know about, you know, Peyton Manning. He doesn't know about Dan Marino. He doesn't know that stuff. You know, that's not, you know, he doesn't know about, oh my God. I mean, you just go through all the different draft picks, right? Like the different, I hate to name names too, because some guys are friends of mine, but, you know, it's just, you know the Jets history with some draft picks. They ended up being complete, you know, I mean, Kyle Brady, like just different picks where you just shake your head. So they don't know that. Mekhi Becton's been here for 6 months. He doesn't know what you're feeling. He just knows we don't have a win this year, and I got to get one. So, you know, maybe years from now he'll know. He doesn't know right now. And a guy like Arthur Millett, he just wants to stay on the damn team. So what I got to do to stay here is I got to perform. And he did. And good for him for that. We'll see where it goes. But like I said to Ira and a couple other callers, quarterback, and you heard him say it too. I mean, he faces Sam in practice. You heard him say it too. If you can get Trevor Lawrence, that's one thing. But if you're at number two or beyond, quarterback is no longer your priority. You do have still a guy who's young, and he's got talent. You got to get him there. And that should be the next priority. 800-919-3776. Grab some calls here. We'll go through that. We got Ruco coming up in noon, and we'll get into a little more Nets as we talk about a team that I think they're getting a lot of attention nationally. Not a lot locally yet, but it's, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, Knicks fans don't want to hear this, and you get mad at me for doing it, but I don't care. You've got number one or probably the greatest scorer in the game right now is playing in Brooklyn. And he's back and he's healthy. And if you watch him in the preseason, you're like, yep, yeah, he's a problem again. And so you're going to want to watch. You need to watch. And you can watch tonight as he begins his new journey after being away for over 560 days. 561 days to the day, actually, since his injury when the Achilles snapped in the finals on June 10th, 2019. It's amazing, but it's true. And they play Golden State, which, of course, is the team he was playing for when that Achilles did pop. And you remember that moment? You remember that moment when we all gasped because the replay showed like how his calf just shook and we all were like, damn. Like that's, you know, what an unbelievable moment that was. Painful too. We all felt it. Nobody wanted to see that happen. But he's back, and it's great to see a talent that good be back. So it'll be compelling to watch tonight, 7 o'clock, and TNT has the doubleheader tonight. Knicks tomorrow night. We'll have the coverage, of course, right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, grab a few calls before we get to Ruco. Let's see. Ooh, a lot of Jet stuff here. Well, let's go with John in Queens, though, wants to talk Knicks. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's going on? I really want to touch on what you just said about KD before I ask you my question. Right. It's crazy how the narrative changed with him in that very same finals. You know, they were saying, oh, he's not coming back. He's not going to play. He rushed back. He played. He came out hot in that first quarter, and then that went down. And narrative change. Now everybody's feeling bad for him. But I'm very excited to see what they do. It's coincidental that I got him and Kyrie on my fantasy team this year. So I'm actually rooting for them, believe it or not.
But
I want to ask you, yesterday I read that the Knicks were really looking at RJ Barrett as more of a three-man. I want to know what you think about that.
I mean, whoever says that doesn't understand that the game today is not about twos and threes. It's about wings. So it doesn't matter, really, with the two or the three. They're interchangeable. So I don't really, it doesn't mean anything to me, honestly. And patronizing. I'm being honest. Two or three doesn't really matter in this league anymore. in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you'll play, like a lot of times a two would be, could be, well, he's small, so he can also guard point guards. Like it's interchangeable one and two. But there's also times where the two and three can be interchangeable. And that's how I see this team. Because if you have Alec Burks, he's a two or three also, very interchangeable. Reggie Bullock, he's also interchangeable two,
right,
three.
You quickly at the, well, at the guard position.
Quickly's more one or two, and Quickly's really, I think, trying to prove he can be the point. That's the position to watch. Like, I'm curious. I think Peyton's going to start tomorrow night, but I really want to see who the first point guard is. If it's going to be Dennis or if it's going to be Quickly, it's got to be Quickly.
They need another shooter next to RJ on that floor, which is why I think it makes sense having him at the three.
Agree. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, the three, you're getting it wrong. The three doesn't matter. It's wing. You got me? It's just two wings. That's what it is. Yeah, so he's on one side or the other. Really, it's all interchangeable. All right, John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, it really is. The game is not, it's not like that anymore where the two is like a prototypical, all right, well, the two is your shooter. It's called shooting guard, right? And then it's the three is a small forward. So he's tall, but he's not big enough to be a four. Like, that doesn't work that way anymore. That's just not how it goes.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.